I said in my opening huge opinion, if we see an increase in people dying, you're going to shut down sports first and then navigate through business and day-to-day living. So let's go talk about the return of baseball. Matt Shepard, TV voice of your Detroit Tigers for Fox Sports Detroit. And like I said, host of X's and Bros, heard weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on most of these huge radio network stations. He is standing by. How you doing, Shep?
Good, Billy. How you doing, bud?
All right. Your thoughts when you heard the news that the owners and the players finally had a deal, the first thing that came to the mind of Matt Shepard?
Relieved and joy. I think our country needs it. I think it's awesome that we can get back to some semblance of normalcy, even though we have a long way to go. I think it's important for the mental state of people in general. I understand some people's concerns, but I think it's going to be a welcome sight, and I think it's baseball is going to do everything it possibly can to keep its most valuable commodities as safe as possible.
You know, and speaking of safety, baseball is a non-contact sport for the most part outside of a play at the plate, running into somebody maybe, you know, down the line at first, sliding into third or second. So I think this sport will be able to navigate COVID-19. Your thoughts on everything you're reading? I heard you on your show talking about all the safety precautions. What sticks out the most to you that will make baseball different?
Well, first of all, the biggest surprise for me in this, the whole negotiation, was the fact that there's a trade deadline on August 31st. So that's number one. But look, I think they're going to do, you know, as much testing as they possibly can. We had a conference call with my bosses on Fox Sports Detroit earlier today, and baseball has laid down the law of what has to be done. If I'm in the press box for a home game and I leave that press box to go to the TV truck, I have to get tested when I come back in. I get tested when I first show up. I'd have to get tested when I come back in as well. There will be passes issued to everybody on where you can go and where you cannot go. And you're not going to, there will be no deviations. This is all mandated by Major League Baseball. And I think what they're going to do, you know, you got the wet rag for pitchers. If you're going to have a conversation, you have to stay 6 feet away from the pitcher's mound. So you take a glove and you cover your mouth. There's no spitting, obviously. There are so many things that they're doing to ensure everything they possibly can for the safety of players. I think it's a hell of a step forward. I give them a lot of credit for thinking like that. I wish it had been done earlier in the sense of an agreement, but I'm not going to complain about 60 games now. I just want baseball to start and be able to finish on time.
Two of those long Q-tip tests, if you go back and forth, so if you went back and forth to the truck three times, well, you would have to get retested every time coming back in the ballpark?
That's correct.
Wow.
So anytime you leave the ballpark and then come back in, you'll have to be tested. And look, I have no problem with that. You know, go ahead and test me. I've done everything I think I can to keep as safe as possible to I delivered meals to firefighters today. I wore a mask until I had a picture taken with some of those firefighters. And every single time I got back in my vehicle, I sanitized my hands. I sanitized my face. I take my clothes off when I get home and I wash them. I mean, I'm doing everything I possibly can. And I think most responsible people are doing the same.
Matt Shepard, TV voice of your Detroit Tigers. Fox Sports Detroit joining us on the Metro Health Sports Medicine guest line talking about the return of baseball. You can also hear Shep Mornings, the free stream at MichiganSportsNetwork.com. He is the host of X's and Bros. So when baseball announced, hey, we have a deal, we started to hear about the runner at second, which the minor leagues have been using. Your thoughts on that? We'll start there.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I'm not a huge fan of that at all. I get why they're trying to do it. They're trying to avoid those long inning games that can happen. You know, numbers will tell you that I think most games are decided quicker than you'll see them go longer, but it's something baseball wants to assure themselves. I always thought it was a little contradictory because you're expanding the roster at the beginning of the season, 30, and then it goes down to 28 and then 26. And yet you're going to try to make the game even shorter at the end when you should have more people available. I would have liked to have seen baseball keep the roster at 30 for the entire season because of this. You're going to have, obviously, a taxi squad as well that you can pull up. But overall, I would have liked to have seen them take 30 players, keep it that way because of the COVID pandemic, and allow you to play longer than just, you know, putting a man at second base in the 10th inning. But that was their decision. They feel like they've got the data to back it up that will help speed things along, and, you know, we'll go with it.
I like the DH. Short season here. It's worth testing like they're testing the runner at second, which I don't agree with. But, hey, I'm all for moving a sport into the next generation and the same thing they're doing with the universal DH.
Yeah, I like the universal DH. I've always liked it, though. I've always felt like it was time to do that. I think players, and I think that's one of those things, huge, when you get to the new bargaining agreement, I think that will remain. 2021 will probably be the last year the National League has a pitcher back. I think it means more jobs for teams in the National League, and players probably understand that. And I just, I know there are purists out there. Gibby and I have this conversation all the time because he loves the strategy that's involved in the National League, and he was a National League manager. So he's forgotten more baseball than I'll ever know. But I just think I don't pay to watch Madison Bumgarner or Clayton Kershaw hit. I don't care how good of a hitter you think Max Scherzer is. If you're hitting .175, it's nothing special. I think people, you get an opportunity, like in Chicago, for example, the Cubs with Kyle Schwarber, a perfect DH kind of guy. I think it means more jobs, and I think it'll be more exciting. As far as the runner at second base and trying new things into, you know, a new generation, trying new things, or even just because it's a new generation, doesn't mean that you try or gimmick up a sport. I think you keep it as pure as you possibly can. The only thing I would say is if you're going to do it in the regular season, you do it in the postseason. That's my biggest issue with hockey, for example. Regular season, they end games in shootouts. Postseason, they end games in overtime. To me, it makes no sense. I think it would have been a lot smarter for the NHL, for example, to just go 4-on-4, and if nobody scores in 5 minutes, go 3-on-3 and keep going that way. Eventually, you're going to get a winner. But I just don't understand why you change it from the regular season to postseason. But baseball is going to keep a runner on second, I think, even in the playoffs.
Did they miss anything where they could have used a 60-game, something that is necessary to be tested, that they could have implemented, that both the owners and the Players Association would have agreed to?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, I think they've thought of a lot of different things, right? There's no bat boys or bat girls. You got to bring your own glove out to your position. It used to be where, you know, Nico Goodrum makes the last out and Jonathan Schoke could bring in his glove at second base. You can't do that anymore. You got to be in charge of your glasses and your glove. You got to be in charge of your batting donut, your batting gloves, your heavy bat for the on-deck circle, your pine tar. Pitcher's got to be in charge of their rosin. I think they thought of all that. And as far as the testing is concerned, I don't think the players agree to it unless it's satisfied them as well. So I think baseball has done a nice job of covering just about all the bases that I can think. Now, whether or not that pertains to its broadcast and the people who are in the ballpark on an everyday basis, that remains to be seen. Because I haven't heard all the nuances and all the rules and regulations that we will face once we start broadcasting games. But from a player standpoint, from an on-the-field standpoint, Huge, it sounds like they've covered their bases, no pun intended.
From everybody you've talked to, Matt, at Fox Sports Detroit and also inside the Tigers organization, a lot of optimism right now with those spikes that I mentioned in some states that house multiple Major League Baseball teams, that July 23rd, everything will be a go unless there's some dramatic change in COVID-19 across America, or is there concern right now?
I think for most people, there is a sincere feeling that they're going to start, but also understanding that you have to account for what you just called, the spiking in certain areas. You see governments, you see mayors and governors peeling back on certain things. Governor Ron DeSantis did it in Florida just today, where you can't go and you can't purchase alcohol, I believe, at bars and so on and so forth, because too many people have been irresponsible about it. You know, I don't know all the numbers that are associated with it. Sometimes I take it with a grain of salt because I think as soon as you say there the numbers are up, and people immediately associate COVID-19 numbers being up with deaths, and I haven't seen that. So I think there is a sincere belief that baseball is going to cover everything. They're going to limit the amount of people on their planes. They're going to cover as much as they possibly can, make it as safe as possible for their people. And if somebody comes down with something, then they will act accordingly. But I think huge, I think a lot of people agree with this. You and I both know people who have been infected by this and they didn't even know, okay? And they were able to get through it. We have to keep reminding people that obviously one death is too many, but that the death rate is extremely low on this. And I think at some point, I think baseball's done a nice job in this area of, and the NBA has too, of trying to take the lead of saying, you know what, we're going to do our very best to get back to what we consider some type of normalcy, even though there's not going to be fans in the stands and it's really not as normal as we'd like it to be. But understanding that, you know, there are risks. I mean, we got to live. I mean, Ron Gartenhire, he's nervous. He said this on a conference call earlier in the week. He's nervous because of his pre-existing conditions. He's beaten cancer, right? And he has another condition that can cause him to be a little bit more susceptible. Matthew Boyd is asthmatic. Okay, so those are risks. There's no doubt about it. And if those guys are willing to take those risks because they trust in the medical staff of the Tigers in Major League Baseball, then I think that helps ease a lot of people's concerns.
Matt Shepard, he is a talented play-by-play TV voice of your Detroit Tigers, Fox Sports Detroit, and also host of X's and Pros. Weekday mornings talking about our Michigan teams on the Michigan Sports Network, 6 a.m. till 9 a.m. You can listen on most of these huge radio network affiliates or the free live stream weekday mornings, 6 until 9 a.m. at MichiganSportsNetwork.com. So we're going to get everybody tested. We're going to keep the safety precautions, the process, the new normal for starting this Major League Baseball season. And then you look at the expanded roster that you talked about. 60 players will be allowed to do this summer 3-week training period together. For the Tigers, that may end up being just as important as the 60 regular season games.
Well, it will be important. The way this whole thing has played out for the Tigers has really hurt in this sense. Casey Mize needed innings. Matt Manning needed innings. Tarek Skubal, Alex Fajardo, they needed innings. Isak Paredes needed at-bats. Daz Cameron needed at-bats. So did Jake Rogers. You know, they're not going to be able to get those. And that's really hard to make up. And I'm telling you, Hughes, right now, you and I would be having this conversation if none of this took place. If this were a normal summer, you and I would be having a conversation at the end of June, and we'd be talking about Casey Mize, Tarek Skubal, and Matt Manning being called up to join the Tigers. Because, especially if they had pitched in Toledo like they did in Erie. And we would be talking about how fast Spencer Torkelson and Riley Green were going to rise through this organization and are going to be stars. So that hurts. You know, you're not going to have Riley Green, who played at West Michigan a year ago for a little bit, come in and you know, be part of the Tigers. It just doesn't make any sense. You're not going to have Spencer Torkelson, who played, 17 games and had 80 at-bats for Arizona State, and suddenly be part of the Tigers. I know people would love that. I know it's a great storyline, but it's not going to happen. So the thing that has really hurt Detroit, I think, is the sense that they've had some young guys, specifically pitchers, and Isak Paredes and Willy Castro, who are on the cusp of possibly becoming everyday players. They needed as much maturation, or if you want to call it in the minors, to get ready to get promoted, to challenge for some spots. And they're not going to have those ABs. They're not going to have those innings under their belt. So as much as I'd like to see them marinating in Toledo now, wherever it may be, we'll see. Have to see them get a little bit of marinating in either Wayne State or Comerica Park and having some of those workouts. That's all we can hope for right now. And then hope that Major League Baseball does the right thing and give an extended fall league, extended winter leagues, that will allow some of these players to kind of catch up on what they missed.
Speaking of allowing players, looking at the entire farm system and even Torkelson out of Arizona State in the draft, let's say the Tigers are 10-20 after 30 games. You want to give your roster and Garden Hire a chance in Alavila for this team in a short season to surprise, and your pitching's great and hitters are behind and you're able to, you know, get out to a 20-10 record. Who knows? Best case scenario by far. But let's say it goes as expected. You struggle. You're 10-20, and it's the 1st of September. And for that final 26 days of the season, that would end on September 27th, how many minor leaguers would get a shot to make their major league debut?
Make their debut? Well, I mean, I'm not in charge, but I wouldn't have any of them, quite honestly. I'm going to stick it out, and I'm going to go with the people who got me to 10-20, and I'm going to have my minor leaguers make sure. It's not going to draw any, but here's what it's going to do. It's going to draw eyeballs, right, to Fox Sports Detroit. So what is it you're trying to accomplish? You want to burn a service year for 30 games to get your team close to 500 so you can see Casey Mize throw against Whit Merrifield? I don't think that's the right way to go about it, and I'm not sure the Tigers feel the same way either. The Tigers have been very patient. You and I both know this because we talk about it every summer. They've been very patient in their rebuild, and that's not an easy thing to do, okay, because Alavila inherited an absolute mess, all right? They weren't very good at the single-A, double-A, or triple-A or major league level. He's now built a farm system that has gone from 30, according to MLB Pipeline, to 5th. They've only been in the top 10 once before, according to Jim Callis. So now they're at 5, and they've got, I would guess, huge with Spencer Torkelson in the top 40. I would guess they've got 6 guys in the top 100 in Major League Baseball. You want those guys. You want them to play together. You want them to win and lose together in the minors, and you'd like them to play together in the majors. Rushing the process in 2020 in a shortened season, I don't think makes a whole lot of sense.
And I do agree with you that the extended fall winter league, maybe even a new winter league that would take place at spring training destinations that might go during October, November, early December. And again, all this is based on medical clearance and we're at on COVID-19, right. But something along those lines where you might be able to grab the minor league season back you lost.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, if injuries force you into a situation that where you want to bring in a pitcher, I could almost see that, right? But look, here's what you got going into camp. You have Matthew Boyd, Daniel Norris, Spencer Turnbull, Jordan Zimmerman, Ivan Nova, and Michael Fulmer. I mean, you have a legitimate 6-man rotation. Whether or not you think they're good enough to win is a different story. What you do have, you have 6 starters right there. One of those guys, Norris, pitched out of the bullpen. One of those guys could always go to the bullpen, right? And you've got some veteran bullpen arms. Now, if you're going to make a trade at the end of August, that might be a little different story. But you're not bringing up all 4 guys in Manning, Mize, Skubal, and Fiedo just so your team can somehow, and your scenario at 10-20, try to get you back to possibly have a 30-30 campaign. I mean, it's just not going to work that way. Not with Detroit. They're not going to push the panic button now. They're going to wait because they know those guys are on the cusp. Okay, they're all on the come. You know that Nova's not going to be here next year. Zimmerman's at the end of his contract. Fulmer's on a 1-year deal, right? So there's going to be some opportunities for some of these young guys to make that splash next year on what you hope will be a full 162-game slate.
Yeah, from what I read, Fulmer in the best shape he's ever been in with the Tigers, and some simulated games pitch very well. When I look at this roster and I look at the projected battles or starters, it's one of the better rosters, and I know it's only a 60-game season, but it's one of the better rosters going in I've seen in a few years for the Tigers.
Yeah, you know, there's storylines at third base. Candelario, Lugo. I think Isak Paredes, had he been healthy in camp, would have made a strong push. Tigers, you know, minor league offensive player of the year a year ago, and a guy who's talented. He can hit. You know, outfield wise, how good was Daz Cameron going to make a push? No, I mean, he was going to start in Toledo, but would he have been able to, you know, kind of find his groove a little bit in Toledo that might force the hand of Detroit moving him up to the major leagues? Yeah, I mean, that could have been a possibility for sure. I think there are some opportunities for some of the young guys, but not the marquee young guys that you and I have talked about before. So, I mean, if Daz Cameron makes that push for the outfield and somebody stumbles a little bit, then sure, I can see them keeping him. Same thing with Paredes, for example, or a guy like Willie Castro. It all depends on how they want to make up this 30-man roster that eventually will be cut down to 26.
So if you're getting ready to do the opener for the Tigers, and it's Fox Sports Detroit and it's Matt Shepard with Morris and Gibby, and you looked at their starting lineup, what would be your best bet that this would be? We know Miguel will be the DH, and right, Boyd will be the opening day starter, and Jimenez out of the bullpen, and Farmer, and I like Norris in the pen if Fulmer is healthy enough to get into the rotation. But the starting nine, who would it be for Detroit?
Yeah, Austin Romine's going to start behind the plate, right, rightfully so. Pitchers love throwing to him in the Lakeland. He's the guy, man. I mean, he did a really good job of assuming control. They loved his work ethic. People were learning from him. Grayson Griner and Jake Rogers learned an awful lot from him. So he'll be your backstop. CJ Cron at first base without question. He'll start every game there, and rightfully so. Bring some added power. We'll hit behind Cabrera and add some of that thumb. So he's going to be your four hitter. Jonathan Scope will be at second base, and you get that too. You sign him to a one-year deal, but he popped 23 over the fence last year. He's not a great defensive second baseman. He's a really good teammate and a guy who can help you offensively. So he'll be at second. Nico Goodrum will be your shortstop. Showed some great athleticism, I think, in the offseason, in spring training down in Lakeland, and an awful lot last year, too. Plus, he wants to play, man. He's a grinder. Third base, I would guess, would be Jamer Candelario to start. He's still a young guy, switch hitter. They want to see if they can get something out of him before, a guy like Isak Paredes or a Spencer Torkelson or Gage Workman ascend a little bit. And then in the outfield, you know, Jacoby Jones will be in center. I don't know how they're going to work the corner outfields. My guess would be, depending on who would be on the mound for the opposition, Kristen Stewart in left or Victor Reyes, and then Cameron Maven in right. And you mentioned Matthew Boyd. He's earned the opportunity to be the opening day starter, I think.
Yeah, Fulmer can go, and Norris could be in the pen to have Boyd, Fulmer, Turnbull, Zimmerman, Nova. That's a decent, yeah, considering, you know, the Tigers were the worst team in baseball last year. You'll take that. The bullpen still is, and I don't know the last time I remember a Tigers bullpen, even when they were, you know, getting to the playoffs. I don't remember the last time I was really comfortable with an entire Tigers bullpen. I get you can't have, you know, 10 all-star arms. What do you think of the pen right now, at least going in to the summer training before we get to the start of that 60-game season?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest intrigue, bud. I really do. I mean, Joe Jimenez is your closer, but then, you know, who are going to be the – Buck Farmer will probably be your setup guy, right? So you've got your eighth-inning guy and your ninth-inning guy. Who are the long relievers, and who are the guys who are going to come in and spot duty? Are you going to keep Ronnie Garcia, who was a Rule 5 guy from the Yankees a year ago? Is Zach Godley going to be able to make a transition from starter to the bullpen? Would he be in that mix? I don't know. They've already cut and released Alex Wilson, who's a great dude, but obviously they saw enough in spring training down in Lakeland to think that he wasn't going to be able to contribute much. So there are a lot of questions still with those guys. I mean, I like Brian Garcia a lot. What would the role be for Brian Garcia, who was a very coveted, skilled pitcher in Detroit's minor league system, was really good at the University of Miami and now in Detroit's system before the injury, and now he's back. So I think that's the intrigue. That's what you wonder. You got to have the balance, lefty and righty. Gregory Soto, for example, from the left side. And then, you know, are certain guys like Ronnie Garcia and Brian Garcia going to be able to make it? And then what are you going to do with some of the other arms like Sandy Baez and so on and so forth? That's where all the questions come into play, and that's why they're going to have 3 weeks to try and settle it.
When you look at this roster, when you look at that top five farm system, and based on the draft, if you redid that MLB pipeline, they might even bump up to three or four. on the best minor league systems in baseball. Is it 2 years away, Shep? Is this still a three-year process? What do you think?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think obviously health is a major factor. Anytime you're talking about pitching, and that's what's driving Detroit's top five status right now, you've got to make sure that these guys stay healthy. I mean, remember, Joey Wentz should be part of that promising group, but he's hurt and he's out for the year. Franklin Perez, huge, should be part of that group. But remember, he didn't pitch much at all last year. But I'm telling you, huge, when this dude is right, and he was part of the trio that came over in the Justin Verlander trade with Jake Rogers and Daz Cameron, when this dude is right, some people in the Tigers scouting department believe that he has the biggest upside. Not Mize, not Manning, not Scooble, not Fajardo, not Wentz, but Franklin Perez. But we haven't seen him healthy, right? So there's a big difference there. You see, if you can get some innings in under him, I think Mize and Manning and Scooble will be playing for the Tigers at some point in 2021. I think Isak Paredes will play for the Tigers at some point in 2021. I think Riley Green and Spencer Torkelson, if they do what we know they can do and we've seen what they can do, I think those guys are destined for Detroit in second half of 2022. I love their draft. I mean, Daniel Cabrera, Spencer Torkelson is my favorite pick, huge, but Daniel Cabrera is my second favorite. I love that dude at LSU. He's a really good player. And Scott Place, the director of amateur scouting, thinks he's an everyday player. I really like him. I like Gage Workman. He's got a high ceiling. He swings and misses a little bit. He's got big-time power. But I like some of their picks still from last year. I like Ryan Kreidler, the shortstop they took out of UCLA. I think he's a good player, right? Brian Packard can hit the ball. He's the fifth-round pick out of East Carolina. He can flat-out rake, but you got to find a spot for him. So they've got some up-and-comers, dude. I'm telling you right now, it's not just Torkelson and the pitchers we've talked about. There's some other names that you're going to want to watch out for because they've got some guys who are going to make the front office have some very difficult decisions.
His name is Matt Shepard. He is the TV voice for Fox Sports Detroit for your Detroit Tigers, and again, they'll open up that weekend of July 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th, COVID-19 permitting, 60-game schedule, 3-week summer training camp at Comerica in downtown Detroit. You can also listen to Shep weekday morning, 6 a.m. until 9 a.m. on X's and Bros. He hosts that well-produced radio show. You can listen on some of these huge radio network affiliates or the free stream at MichiganSportsNetwork.com. That is MichiganSportsNetwork.com. Shep, great stuff, my friend. Awesome to have baseball back, and we'll talk soon.
All right, pal. I appreciate it. And, yeah, make sure people listen on that MichiganSportsNetwork.com. That's the streaming device you want to listen to.
Thousands upon thousands listen every day at MichiganSportsNetwork.com.
And that's where we're reading Huge's blog every day, too.
So every day. Up, read them every day. There's more blogs. I'm blogging. I don't even write emails anymore. I just write blogs. I'm thinking about posting blogs. Like, you know what, kids? I told you to clean up. Huge talks that's about his kids cleaning up. I'm going to break up with women in my life. I'm blogs. I'm done with you, Huge. I'm done with you.
That's beautiful.
We love you, Shep.
All right, brother. Have a great weekend.
All right, Matt Shepard, TV voice of your Detroit Tigers. Yeah, X's and Bros, weekday morning, 6 a.m. until 9 a.m. If you don't hear it on your local Huge Radio Network affiliate or where you live, you can listen to the free stream at MichiganSportsNetwork.com. That is a good idea. I can save time, right? I just, instead of emailing people, I just blog. Oh, you have to put them up, Superfly. So.